The school lunch program is a nutrition lifeline for many children throughout New Jersey. In its current structure, the program comes with limitations. Recently, lawmakers in Trenton, they looked at the program and asked why it's not open to all school kids since it's so beneficial. Here to take a look at this idea and the importance of the president and CEO of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Mary Coogan. How are you today, Mary?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you talk about this. Why did it take so long to think about this? ACNJ.org, by the way, is the website for Advocates for Children of New Jersey. And the mission that's being proposed on the assembly side, it's A5573. And over a span of starting with this coming school year, by 2028, the goal is to have every child, every student, into a free lunch program, no matter what the household income, family situation happens to be. In your experience, Mary, what has been the significant pluses about the school lunch program?
I think it's difficult to focus on your schoolwork when you're hungry. And that was the reason why school started serving lunch and then breakfast for families it's families who are poor or low-income families. There is certain eligibility requirements. For example, currently it's 185% of federal poverty, which for a family of four is just under $70,000 a year. For certain families of a slightly higher income, you pay a reduced rate. During the pandemic, the federal government waived all those requirements, and I think as a result, school meals were handed out to all students. Nobody was checking to see if you were financially eligible, and it was because we were in a crisis situation. As a result of that, I think people started to rethink the program overall and said, why not just give it to all students? It would remove the stigma of kids feeling awkward, saying, you know, I'm getting school meals, therefore I must be coming from a poor family. I think for us, there's another piece of this, which is we need to really work towards making sure these are meals that have nutritional value but are also flavorful so that the students actually eat the food that they're given at school.
Yeah, we've seen stories before back during the Obama administration. I guess you got a little more, well, certainly on the healthy side, but the menu was not appealing to the kids. Let's just put it that way. And a lot of the food was getting tossed to the side or just not taken at all. And the student would voluntarily go without lunch. So that's part of the equation that definitely needs addressing. You think too, Mary, because the school lunch program on its own is not a new idea. It's been around since 1946. It was signed into law, the federal program, by then President Harry S. Truman. But yet, if you look at the here and now, although the numbers have improved in New Jersey, there are many school districts whose participation rate in the school lunch program can certainly be better than what they are.
So current law in New Jersey requires that if you have 70% of your student body eligible for the school meals programs, you should be serving them to all students. So there's been a push, and we actually, ACNJ was involved with many other advocates in a school breakfast campaign to have breakfast served in the classroom, because traditionally all kids who receive lunch at school were not eating breakfast at school. And it's been interesting because our recent kids count, it says that number has gotten worse again in terms of only 56% of the students who are eligible to receive reduced school meals are actually getting breakfast at school. And I think I don't know if it's a cost factor or it's just problematic sometimes to implement the programs, that members of the legislature are saying, you know what, we should just serve the meals to everyone. And part of the legislation is to implement it over a period of time. And I think this will enable everybody to work out the kinks, to find best practices. And I'm hoping that maybe some companies can produce some nutritionally balanced food bars or meals and make them in such large quantities that we can really achieve economies of scale. Because while we get federal funding reimbursement for school meals, there will be a state cost. And I've seen different estimates, but it will be in the millions of dollars.
Speaking of which, too, with this proposal of over the time between this coming school year and 2028, obviously the more kids involved in the program, the higher the cost. And if you're going to wind up with all the kids in it, well, now versus then, a significant higher cost. But you as a resident in whatever county that you're listening to us in right now, the way this is structured is the state is going to reimburse the school. The school is not going to call for a hike in property taxes to fund this program, just to make that point clear, too. And even in the here and now, we're not talking about a small number of kids eligible for the free lunch program, Mary. That if you look at the free lunch program, most recent numbers, according to your kids count report, 298,763. Reduced lunches, 43,446. I'll do the math, 342. 209, and that's just now. I mean, and certainly with the economy, if that takes a turn to a further negative side versus what it's been over the past year plus, that number would certainly be expected to increase even before this program, should it become law, starts to add to the enrollment.
Correct, and so I think people need to think it through. One of the benefits of, as I said, implementing this over a period of 5 years, we can identify what the best practices are, what the most cost-effective mechanism is to deliver these meals. I think we will get federal dollars, you know, as a reimbursement, but as you said, it still will be some state dollars. And that's because the state is mandating this. And if the state mandates something, the state pays for it. But that still comes out of tax dollars. So I think we do want to figure out a way to do this efficiently, to make the meals nutritionally balanced, but also that they're appealing to the students.
Dr. Mary Coogan is the president and CEO of Advocates for Children of New Jersey on the web, acnj.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Certainly the school lunch and school breakfast programs, they're vital for a lot of the kids for a variety of reasons. As far as the nutrition, all the benefits too, better attendance, better mood, better learning experience, above and beyond that. But obviously school is not in session, so that leaves a lot of families wondering, even worrying, whether or not their kids are going to be able to have that proper nutrition continue. What's the status of the summer food programs going into this year now that we're pretty much free and clear of the pandemic?
So I believe the summer meal programs are still income-based, and there are sometimes recreation departments, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, all their summer programs, they may be providing meals. Another benefit of this legislation is that the implementation of school lunch across the board for all students will apply for summer meals as well, and it will also apply in case we have another health emergency, like the COVID-19 shutdown.
As far as the work of your organization, what do you see as immediate needs that you're hoping you can successfully address, whether it is initiatives such as this law, this legislation becoming law with the school lunch program, or raising awareness so that people raise their voices or come forward to point out that things aren't being done that are really needed to be done as far as kids, nutrition, economic cause, healthcare, daycare. I mean, you really address so many issues. Ergo, the name of your organization, Advocates for Children of New Jersey.
Well, we are a multi-issue organization, as you have just verified. So, right now, in terms of school meals and just school climate, I think we've seen, and as everyone else has seen, kids are suffering from anxiety. There's some behavioral issues. I think teachers are stressed. I think schools have had staffing issues, and those issues also need to be looked at and addressed. In the area of childcare, that has been a primary issue for ACNJ because we do have a staffing crisis in childcare. There are many centers who, because they're competing with other retail establishments or other places that can provide higher wages, they're struggling to maintain their staff, so they have empty classrooms. There are parents who can't find childcare, or they can file childcare, but it's not adequate for their needs because maybe they're working shift work. And so those issues also need to get addressed. But I think across the board, there are staffing issues. We supported the universal home visiting, which would allow a new parent, whether they're an adoptive parent or they give birth to a child, or fathers, to get a visit from a nurse to just to make sure everything's okay, there's no health issues. And that is being implemented by the Department of Children and Families. And again, the issue of staffing and having enough nurses to staff that program comes up. So I think that's across the board.
And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I think there's time over the summer where schools can try to look at some of their issues, but I think starting in September, mental health issues need to get addressed. That's a topic that the legislature has been looking at, but
I know there's been concerns, too, because they want to shift the mental health care programs from out of the school to, they call them mental health hubs, I believe was the terminology. And some people are concerned because it's taking the services out of a place that has, in a sense, I guess, a comfort zone for the kid who is looking for that service or is in need of that mental health service. And by taking it out of their comfort zone, it's just going to add to the challenge of addressing whatever the mental health situation is.
Well, a couple things I want to say about that. The agreement that was finally reached was that the current school-based services are continuing. Okay, so what has been created by the Department of Children and Families is to have 15 hubs across the state, which will provide sort of a central screening for services, but the community should also be assisting in determining what are the most relevant services for children and families in that catchment area. And those services can be provided in the school, but the thought would be is that you could identify services, you know, like kids just need self-regulation services, or how do they calm themselves down, or how do they deal with anxiety? And if the community thinks that's a priority, the hub can identify the most appropriate people to teach those skills to the teachers or guidance counselors and the students, but that service can be provided in the school. It also could be provided at a community agency, or it could be provided at a library, but the hub, with working with people living in that community, will help determine the service, the level of need, and where the services would be provided.
And instead of a replacement, which was at least the sound of the original plan, it's in effect an expansion of mental health services for young children.
It is. And I also think the thought was to make it more effective or more efficient, again, understanding that another area where we have a staffing crisis is in mental health services.
This is very true, and part of the work that Advocates for Children of New Jersey, they raise focus and attention to this and many other issues. When you go to acnj.org, you will certainly see that. They also present to you a wealth of education and information, which we always turn to for empowerment to strengthen your voice and raise your awareness about these situations that are affecting your children as well as your community. You find that and a lot more at acnj.org. The website for Advocates for Children of New Jersey, she is their president and CEO. Mary Coogan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for your interest. I appreciate the time, Chris. Great to talk to you.